So, Gary, what are we doing this week?
Well, Cole, if I can lead you here into my terrarium.
Oh, wow. Lots of lizards.
Yeah, so, you know, some lizards, and they're really there just as a motivator for the real pets, which are these cockroaches here.
Ugh.
And look, they're wearing little sports jerseys. It's cute.
Oh, look at them.
Yeah, and they, you'll notice they each have numbers on them. And I've got one cockroach for each game that features a cockroach protagonist.
Wow, there's only one cockroach in here.
It's going to race, and whichever one wins is the game we're going to do next.
Oh, okay. Specious. So it's like the cockroach bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's like kitten bowl, except no.
Except with more legs.
Yeah, it is. It's kitten
bowl. With 50% bowl. More legs.
It's a kitten bowl that will survive the nuclear apocalypse. So
forever kitten bowl?
Yeah, this is the kind of kitten bowl. This kitten bowl is looking for its forever home. And when it says forever, it means that generations and generations will be born on your skin. And he's going to go here. All right, and he's off.
Oh, look at him go.
Yeah, he's kind of crawling around in circles, going there.
He's got a nice hiss to him. I like that.
Yeah, he's got spirit.
Yeah.
He's like a grandpa that won't die. And, it looks like he's finishing, crossing the finish line.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. So here, I've got this apple, too, if you want to input his number into it real quick.
Okay, let me see here.
And hook that up to a 3.2 SCSI drive.
Yep.
And dot matrix, it's printing out a game. And here we go. It's Bad Mojo.
Awesome.
Redux.
Even better.
Yay. I knew I could count on you, little Mojo. Good Mojo.
Pray for Mojo. Pet a cockroach. Gently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can do it actually as hard as you want.
Yeah.
Like, this thing's not going anywhere.
No.
He is, he will die. He will bury us all. So.
In fact, he intends to.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Under layers of filth.
So I like how for the 50th episode, you just decided to do a randomization that would require me to put in the most sound effects.
Yeah. Well, usually I go for sound effects that are hard. This one I went for bulk rather than obscurity, because usually I just try to find things I think would be hard to find.
Cool, Spirograph, let's go.
Yeah. This time I just went for, like, give you a break. Yeah, I forgot this is the 50th episode.
Yeah.
What a good game for the 50th episode.
I know, right?
Yeah. We've been doing the show for a while.
We have. We've been doing it for a year and 8 months.
Yeah,
20 months, some would say.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh. I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show we've been doing for 20 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's
why
all
are
you know.
Yeah. And why are you doing this to us? Like, I almost feel like this also indicates a turn, too, because we're nominally a bad game show, but I don't think this is a bad game, Gary.
No, this is not a bad game.
Right.
Who suggested it?
Well, I had to do a little bit of digging because we initially... we were going to do this a while ago, like back towards the beginning of the year, and we were not able to because of compatibility problems. Jason Clark was the one who initially, I've not seen him recommend or request stuff before, so I assume this is like a touch by an angel situation. And
yeah,
this
you
is
from
that...
the future?
Yes. Okay, so I became an angel and came back to touch myself in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, suggesting games, the ghost in the machine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've reached the Kurzweil singularity. It's gonna happen. What is it, the basilisk, whatever that thought experiment is?
You know what's funny about this is that we couldn't get it to run, and I still couldn't get the Steam version to run until I ran it in Windows 7 compatibility mode.
Okay,
guess what operating system I use.
ME
Windows 7.
Huh.
Like, I had to run it in compatibility mode for the operating system I was using to get it to not crash.
Oh, it'd be double compatible.
Yeah, you just add to it. So it's pretending it's more Windows 7 than Windows 7.
Yeah. Can't get anything
to run this.
You can't run Windows 7 game on Windows 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty frustrating. And for a moment I was just like, we can't not do this again. Like, am I just going to watch a YouTube and just say, like, well, I watched the intro live and then watch the rest of it. But I did get a chance to play it. Not as much as you did, though.
I straight up beat this. Like, I sat down with a mug of coffee. And then about halfway through the game, I got up and got another mug of coffee. It was a Sunday afternoon. And I just went for it. Butt to gut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Butt to gut.
Butt to gut.
Yeah.
Spanning the whole thing. It's a very short game. I think Steam clocks me in at about 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell it was going to be short, too. I just kind of ran out of, like, it's the end of the term, so I kind of ran out of usable abject suffering time.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I very well could go back to this because it is a good game.
Yeah, definitely.
As we mentioned.
Yeah. So let's give a little bit of the premise to this because it is an FMV game, Gary.
It is an FMV game. And it is, but it's not, and it starts off like an FMV game. By which I mean, like, it starts off with the kind of, like, super shitty acting and, you know, stuff that is just made for angry video games nerds to get epic lols from. And does the main character in the beginning, does he look like Lloyd Christmas to you?
He looks a little bit like Lloyd Christmas. What I gathered from it, he looks and acts like a combination of Sheldon from Bing Bong Theory and John Darnielle from The Mountain Goats.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. He definitely looks a little bit like Bing Bong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a piece of shit. Like, he's really obnoxious. And I was like, who do I root for? But then he gets his just desserts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's so much like weird gropey actions that he does. Like he very much does have an insectile, like grasping nature to him. Like,
he's also like overacting. He's also like stage acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they pulled this guy from, you know, bumfuck Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah, yeah. Our town, our very small town.
Yeah, exactly.
With so a very shallow talent pool for theater.
Very exaggerated movements and stuff. But, like, essentially, like, he's a guy, he's some kind of entomologist. And he is going to embezzle a bunch of money or has embezzled a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Right? And gets caught. Mm-hmm. And where did the gem of Ra come from, or whatever?
It's from his mom. His mom left it for him. He's about to skip town because his landlord comes up and starts harshing his style. He's like, "Okay, I'll give you your money."
He's such a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, you signed a lease, buddy. Like, you had to pay rent. Like, it's not like I hate that I have to do this.
Yeah, you have like tons of money. So
yeah, he's so reluctant, and then it's not if you didn't know the premise of this game and just watched the beginning of it, you'd be shocked and awed where it went, because it doesn't seem like it's going to go where it goes.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, so he's about ready to run. I was like, oh no, I need to get my mom's locket, and he pulls it out, and this apparently is like he knows that it's called the Bad Mojo. It's got the Bad Mojo in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
it turns him into a cockroach.
Cockroach, so, yes.
Yeah, he turns into a cockroach.
Yeah.
And then you play the rest of the game as a cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
Doing cockroach things.
Yeah, just running around, just walking across filthy corners and such.
Singing cockroach songs.
Yeah. You know, just auditioning to be an extra in Joe's apartment.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of like a Joe's apartment kind of thing. Boy, that thing. I hadn't thought about that for a while.
A movie I've never seen. I just saw the preview.
Yeah, I've seen it before. I remember mostly because The Rentals, their second single was on the soundtrack of that.
Huh.
And the video was a Joe's apartment themed music video. Hmm. So I remember appreciating that.
Yeah. If I was going to be more literate, I would probably go, what is it? Naked Lunch has roach people?
Oh. Well, yeah, and then you know, obviously the Metamorphosis.
Yeah, which I think that this is a little bit of a nod toward.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's what Wikipedia says.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
I mean, the main character's name is like Samsor Grega or something like that. Like, it's just reversing the Metamorphosis character. Like, he is very, you know, very, very much
his name is Roger Sams.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, Roger Sams. His middle name must be like Greg something, though. I remember reading something about the more overt references to the Metamorphosis. If you ever want to read the Metamorphosis and you want to, it's a good book, but if you want to do it in a lazy way, mm-hmm. There's an R. Crumb illustrated version of it that's really fun, and he's a really good illustrator for it.
Yeah, I could see that fitting actually really well.
Yeah,
because of the filth and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. He's good at drawing things being seedy.
Yeah.
So you turn into that cockroach.
Yeah.
And then you are overhead with like super atmospheric scary music.
Yep.
And just solving cockroach puzzles.
Mm-hmm. You know, actually going through literal cockroach hotels. I mean, not literal. It's not a Holiday Inn or anything, yeah. But yeah, you are at cockroach scale. You have no reason to know this. However, the ending reveals it's not that you turned into the cockroach. It's that your consciousness was transferred into a cockroach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because you find yourself. You find yourself at the end.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And what's the you doing? Like just doing creepy cockroach things, like eating sugar out of the garbage and like shitting out eggs in the middle of his bed and stuff?
Take some water.
is that what you're doing?
No. You're just passed out on the floor of your bedroom.
Oh, okay. I bet you cockroaches like a good nap. That makes sense. If you're going to transfer consciousness with a cockroach, I'd prefer it to be a sleeping cockroach.
Yeah. No, there's a puzzle where you have to get him to move because he fell on top of your plane ticket out. So you turn on the lights and then he just shuffles underneath the bed.
Hold on a second, buddy. Are you still trying to get the plane ticket?
Yeah.
Why?
No, you're not. I'm just making that up.
Doesn't need a plane ticket to get on a plane?
Okay, I'm just making it up.
Okay.
Sorry. I should have been more clear that it was a goof.
No. It's just like, well, I didn't get far enough to, you know, to get into that. And I was just like, and your goal is something. You know, like you're doing, like, they never actually make that clear. You're just, you know, avoiding getting killed.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, that'd be amazing. Like, if the ending was the cockroach, like, crawling through the security line and, like, going through that little scanner and.
Well, they wouldn't have to worry about the radiation from the backscatter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just take that one. Yeah. And who cares if it's easier internal genitalia? Like, your pulsating reproduction sacs.
Yeah, your little babies clinging to your back. Oh, no. Do I have to buy an extra ticket for my back baby?
Yeah.
Yeah. Baby on back.
Yeah, you're allowed one carry-on back baby.
Yeah.
As long as it fits within that compartment.
Yeah, but it gets smaller every year.
Mm.
Yeah, and you got to board early or else it has to be, like, gate checked. It's a real mess.
I hate gate checking.
Man, so do roaches.
I've checked my last luggage, I think.
Yeah.
If I can't go there with a backpack and a suitcase, I'm not going.
Mm-hmm. So. Can I finish my goof?
Oh, yeah. Please do. I apologize.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, so you're trying to get the airline ticket out from under him. Then you turn on the lights and he just scuttles under the bed.
I heard that part, but it seemed plausible. Okay. Like, none of that sounds implausible in this game.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I didn't think it was a goof, because, like, that very well could have happened, and it would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good idea for it. So is it true that you actually did switch places? How far did this goof go?
No, okay, so you don't switch places. Like, it is just, your body is an empty vessel into which the Lord's goodwill can flow. Yeah, and then you're just in a roach body. I can't say, maybe you are cohabitating the body, maybe you're headmates with the cockroach.
Like a Herman's head.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. What actually happens at the end? Like, how does the story of Bad Mojo go?
Well, Gary, like, so the goof line is going to remain blurred because you are trying to you're trying to recover your body, but as you go along, you're actually learning about your landlord. So this has really great environmental storytelling, by which I mean there are photos and stuff in the background and also text and things. And you're learning about your landlord's past and finding out that, oh, he's a piece of shit because his wife died in childbirth. Oh, no. Who's the child? It's me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Huh.
So once you figure this out, you have to, I forget what it is, but like,
hold on one second.
Okay.
Listen to this out of context line from the Wikipedia synopsis and see if it sounds like this game. Roger and Eddie discover that they are in fact father and son, which was exactly as the Oracle planned.
Yep. Like,
that's so weird.
Yeah. It's the Oracle that lives inside the locket, who speaks through your dead mom and his dead wife.
Is that also the thing that gave the voice to the cockroach that you run into early on?
Yes.
That gives you the parable?
No, I think that they all speak. She speaks through the lowliest of creatures that you come across.
Okay.
So it's not just other cockroaches. There's mice, there's butterflies, there's lizards and such. Yeah, this guy really has problems. Really has problems. Probably not up to health code in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a gross apartment.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it is a horror game in that sense.
Yeah.
For me. But it's so like the way that it shakes out, the ending of it, it there are four endings and it's determined by who ends up getting out of the apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, because I like through the course of the events, you have to set the apartment on fire.
So if you had not done anything, the apartment would not be on fire and both people would live?
Maybe. There's a summary of the endings in the Wikipedia, but I followed a guide and got the best ending.
Okay.
Yeah. But it ends. The two of you are, you know, outside of the bar/apartment/restaurant or whatever this crazy ass building is.
Yeah.
And like looking at each other, and the landlord sees you holding the lock and is like, "Where'd you get that?" And like, "I got it from my mom." He's like, "But I gave that to Samantha. You couldn't, but you're not."
And that's such a weird morality thing, though, because that sounds like you're supposed to be learning a lesson about how the landlord's not really an asshole. Mm-hmm. He has a reason to be, but the landlord is never really an asshole.
No,
like, the landlord is the most sympathetic character. You're a monster in this.
Uh-huh.
Like you're just a real shithead.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of your narration.
Yeah.
In the beginning,
I'm tired of being small.
Yeah. Like you just seem like a
word.
Yeah, just pay your rent and leave. Yeah. Like none of this would have happened, buddy. and he gives him like $100 or something like that. Like he just gives him like a tiny fraction of his money.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So it's about learning basic human empathy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or just, you know, it's okay. You know, you don't have to have it all, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about compromised. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it's a crazy story that is told in a really cool way, except for that very end when. Okay, so here's something goofy about the ending. You run off to Mexico with your ill-gotten gains and your newfound dad. And then the narration says, "Oh, and while we were in Mexico, I bought my dad a bar in Belize."
Oh.
What?
That was nice of him.
Belize is like wicked a different country.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, he's just trying to get his dad away.
No, but they're living together. Like the last shot of the good ending is them like sipping Mai Tais while wearing sombreros.
Oh, it's a turnkey business. Like, you know, they just hired Juan, and Juan is just gonna run it for him.
Yeah.
What a unique special snowflake this is.
I know, right?
The subtitle is The Roach Game. Like, Bad Mojo, The Roach Game.
No, that's the cover from the Ukrainian version. Yes, Roach Game. Yeah. Yes, Roach Game. Yes.
Yes. Maybe I would get confused with the actual Ukrainian Roach Game. What a weird game. So it's a bad game podcast. We should talk about some of the things that are bad about it, even though it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So it controls like shit.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know what you can crawl on and what you can't. Like I'm constantly just running into edges that look like I can crawl down them, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like it seemed to me in my very brief time, the main action is just trying to find a path.
Right.
In this game, which was frustrating with the kind of tank controls.
Yeah.
Is there a reason like in the menu or in the options you can turn off your antenna? Do they do something? Is it like the Silent Hill radio?
I have no idea.
Okay. I was wondering if like your antenna, if there's danger around, your antenna would start flipping out and some people want to turn that off.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a note. It is a bug. It's an all people in bug costumes covering Santana songs. Antenna.
There we go.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, antenna.
There we go.
Yeah. No. So I'm not sure. I think that it's for people who are creeped out by antenna.
Oh, that could be. Because it is like a creepy game. Like everything looks, it does a good job of looking disgusting and like just dirty and awful.
Yeah. And it's good, like good texture work. Like there were some places I couldn't decide if it was a photograph or if it was just a really good 3D render.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it came with a DVD with like making ofs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
The
Redux version.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd watch that shit.
I wonder if that's on the Steam Extras, actually.
Ooh. Yeah, cause Steam Extras are one of those things you get constantly and then just forget that you have.
Right.
Like, I have tons of games that have Steam Extras, and I've never, I'd like to dig out my Crypt of the NecroDancer soundtrack, and I've just never, you know.
I don't know where it is, because Steam's interface is a nightmare for doing anything besides launching and playing a game.
Which is, the main thing it needs to do. Buying a game. It's good for buying a game.
Yeah,
it does. It does the things it needs to do really, really well.
Yeah.
It just does this one weird little thing, not great.
Yep.
But yeah, Bad mm-hmm. Mojo.
Yeah, back to Bad Mojo. Also, like the things you can interact with are it's really hard because your only verb in this is walk and push.
Yeah.
And so if you're trying to push like a bottle cap or a coin or something like that, specifically like cigarette butts, which you have to like pivot.
Yeah.
You know, like to set a spider on fire or something like that. They're cool little like ingenious puzzles like that where it's, you know, you just have to use the environment to, you know, create a path for yourself. Right. But figuring out what part of this you need to bump into to not get eaten by a spider is really, really frustrating.
Also, I'm pretty sure like a spider can't eat a cockroach. Like, doesn't that seem right to you? Doesn't it seem like those guys would just kind of be buds?
Yeah, they would just kind of get into misadventures.
Like, you're too big for me to eat, you know, and too hard to eat. Mm-hmm. And I'm a cockroach. I don't even know what I fucking eat. You know, I just subsist on like dead skin cells and
I just eat sorrow.
I just eat poverty.
Yeah.
So I
subsist on the sheer force of will of people who wish I didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he feeds on fear. He's like little Freddy Krueger. Have you ever been in a place with cockroaches?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks because, like, not just, you know, normals get them sometimes too. Like, it's not just, you know, it doesn't have to be like a terrible neighborhood. Like, yeah, you can just get them in a decent neighborhood. And
yeah. It's not just psychogenesis kids.
No, totally.
It's yeah, totally. We had them in a basement in my college neighborhood, and they were coming over from our neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause our neighbor just, you know, it was beer cans for miles, and cockroaches love beer cans.
That's their thing. They love to party.
Yeah. With their spider friends.
Yeah. We're spider girl in a spider world. Come on, cockroach, let's come party.
Come on, cockroach, let's go.
I've never had them in a place where I've lived, but I've been to friends' houses that were like 1,000 times cleaner than me.
Uh-huh.
And they were just like, yeah, there's cockroaches. Like, every once in a while I try to kill them, but there's nothing we can do. And I've gotten rid of my furniture and washed all of my bedding and like.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like lice, you know, like people just get lice, bed bugs too. I think that the bed bug pandemic has taught us to have a little bit of tolerance for people. Like, totally. These are forces of nature, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My cat has fleas and like, I can't totally get rid of them. I can just give him the drops that make them not land on him and clean, but there's probably still, you know, some of them in my house somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just easier to get them off of him.
Right.
You know, like, just make sure they don't bother it, cause they don't really get on me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I, when I lived in New York, I lived in a bad apartment in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. And, you know, it was like nice people, but it was just an older building. And, about midway through my stay, let's say close to like 3 weeks towards the end of my stay, I saw a shadow moving out of the corner of my eye.
Mm.
I was like, oh no, it was like underneath the baseboard heater. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a mouse. And then definitely had my girlfriend over. Yep, it's a mouse. And so I put out a trap and it was there. And then the next day I saw three more running under it.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, so here's what I'm going to do, because this is a losing battle. I'm going to buy containers for all of my food, get as much as I can off the floor. I have 3 weeks left in this sublet. We're gonna issue an uneasy detente.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, and mice are not that, like, mice are gross because of the evidence of mice.
Yes.
But seeing a mouse doesn't necessarily, like, people have those as pets. Like, that's not, those things aren't inherently gross.
Yeah, as opposed to cockroaches, which I think the craziest thing about them is that they move so quickly.
Yeah, they move really quickly and they're always in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if they're staying still, like, parts of them are just undulating.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, constantly. Like, they are really unnerving looking.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they don't really hurt you, I don't think.
Like, they spread contamination. They're like any insect.
They? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty gross.
I mean, it's not a good sign. Like.
Yeah, yeah. It does mean that, you know, it's like, you should try to make some life changes. Those life changes won't necessarily fix things.
Right, right.
But they're worth giving a shot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't christen a new apartment by breaking a bottle of cockroaches over the front door. Go forth, my friends. till the floorboards.
Yeah. It's your apartment now, boys. Go get them.
Reap the skin cell harvest from my carpets. Flow, flow.
They keep you clean while you're sleeping.
Yeah, they groom me.
Yeah, they're little custodians. Like, they just kind of sit around, like, eating all the skin cells off of you.
Yeah. It's exfoliating. You know, over in Belgium, they have cockroach spas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just, like, dip, or, like, the Temple of Doom style. Like, just, like, cockroach, you know, showers. So, we are going to die. Speaking of Indiana Jones, real quick, this is tangential, but I watched, how long has it been since you've watched Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Probably about 5 years.
This is a narratively unsatisfying movie. Like, if they had done nothing, nothing would have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they fail at every turn. The Nazis get the Covenant, and the Covenant takes care of the Nazis. The end. Like, they don't do shit at any point.
Right.
Like, Indiana Jones is impotent and garbage in that movie.
I want to be adjacent to the bad stuff that's happening.
Yeah, it's just, he's essentially just a reporter. Like, he's just kind of like, I need to be here so the audience can be here. And, like, I'm going to do some cool shit, but ultimately all of my efforts are for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really weird movie in that respect. Like, I understand he's supposed to be a little bit like, oh, you know, hard luck. You know, things aren't supposed to go great for him. But, yeah, like, he literally is not an agent in that story.
Right.
Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He is ineffectual. He's kind of like the Ghostbusters at the beginning of Ghostbusters 2 throughout that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, until the end.
Yeah.
Because then they make a difference in a big, bad way. Like, it is, you know, like, if it wasn't for them animating the Statue of Liberty with an NES Advantage, then they wouldn't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, then Mood Slime would have taken over the world.
Which the way they did that. That's a weird movie, because the way that the Mood Slime worked was the Statue of Liberty, like, didn't fight anything.
Right.
It was just, people are going to be in such a good mood seeing the Statue of Liberty come to life and walk through the city.
Yeah.
That's just going to make them not like the Mood Slime if, like, you know, Higher Love or whatever the song is.
No, that's Bobby Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
The,
give me a higher love.
Is that, yeah, higher, is it the song they play through the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, I guess we
call the Ghostbusters and they're in control.
I get that song confused with so many other songs from that era.
Yeah.
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 Huh.
But yeah, that's so weird. Like, if I saw the Statue of Liberty, like, walking through the city, I would be like,
something's not right. Guys,
New York.
Something's like,
that's how we do things in the Big Apple.
Go smash the Carpathian.
It's so good to, like, or it's so easy to catalyze New Yorkers. Like, it happens in Spider-Man too.
Yeah,
there's a part where, like, everyone, like, it's just like, you don't try this in New York, and then they all throw over there and, like, canned it.
Yeah, because Doc Ock is Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, why don't they, like, that guy's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Have you seen his apartment? He's Pure Greenwich Village. Leave him alone.
Yes. Osama bin Laden has the power of the sun in the palm of his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that is such a, like, all media from 2002 to 2003 just had a let's roll, guys.
Yeah.
I remember when I was first reading New X-Men, there's a scene where somebody tries to hijack a plane. It's apropos of nothing. And I was like, oh, yeah, this was written, like, in December of 2001, so there has to be this obligatory, like, gesture of solidarity that just looks ghoulish in hindsight.
Yeah, we were all it was on all of our minds.
Yeah.
And now I don't even remember what day September 11th was.
I know, right?
Like, I always forget the anniversary of September 11th.
We all lost our innocence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's part of our memory.
Yeah, we are living with the September 11th mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we get about three more solid September 11th goofs in here? How many cockroaches do you think were, like, fleeing from that scene? Probably a lot.
They all survived. Like, they're all good. But where's their memorial? There's probably, like, a little tiny, like, instead of having, like, the towers of light for them, there's probably just, like, an upended flashlight that they use. Like, somebody pushed over a mag light, and that's their tribute.
That nobody, like, none of them can appreciate because they're all just scuttling around it.
That would be the sequel to this, where, like, you're the last cockroach who remembers 9/11, because in cockroach years,
yeah,
that might as well be like World War I, right?
Yeah.
So, like, and you have to make the tribute because you know, so much of your clutch died in the you have to push over a flashlight to create a tribute and then push some sunglasses in front of it so nobody gets scared.
Yeah.
Like, somebody game make that. Like, that would be a very easy game maker game to make, I feel like.
It's a flash game.
Yeah. Like, Bad Mojo 2. Bad Mojo 2, never forget. Like, and just a picture of the Twin Towers on the front of it.
With, like, a crying, like, translucent cockroach in front.
Yeah, like, superimposed.
Gary, I think we're about to get Patriot acted.
The first one really took The Metamorphosis as a touchstone, but this one takes Loose Change as the literary work that most inspired this game.
It's Loose Change meets Holy Terror meets Bad Mojo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew, really?
I'd take that.
So you would take that?
Yeah, man. I'd play that shit.
Oh, I like this show.
Wow.
Sometimes I just listen to this show while it's in recording.
I'm trying to remember how much I remember of Game Maker, because I took, like, a Game Maker class. I know Game Maker. Like, I almost feel like I could do that.
Man. Yeah. And don't limit yourself. Don't limit your dreams.
Yeah, I shouldn't do like a really, really intense title page and have the whole game be like 2 seconds of just like, you know, dun, dun, dun. And then the credits have the credits go on for a long time. Like the credits really short, like one person, and then just a in memory of, and then just do a trillion names, like unpronounceable cockroach names. And that's the majority of the runtime of the game.
if we crowdsource cockroach names.
Yeah, just like anybody, you know, like contribute $1 to this Kickstarter and you get to be named after one of the cockroaches in the in Bad Mojo 2 Never Forget.
So you could do Carlos Antenna, like we just pad it out with celebrity cockroach names.
Yeah, that could be the over the end of the credits.
Yeah.
It's Carlos Antenna song. I was trying to remember a Santana song that would rhyme with something buggy, but like I hate Santana, so I don't actually.
The only one that comes to mind is that
Smooth with Rob Thomas.
Yes, Rob Thomas.
I hate that fucking song.
It's so bad, Rob Thomas. Fuck you.
Make it real. Let's forget about it. Like anytime someone does that when they're singing, I hate it.
Yeah.
Like there's that Faith No More song that's all that.
Yep. Oh God, I fucking hate that song.
Yeah, that's a terrible song. What is it?
What is it?
That's the worst fucking song. God, it's also called Epic.
Yep.
Like everything about that breakthrough hit is garbage.
It's called Epic, and if you run Rock Band 1 with like random songs, it'll come up every other time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody has an agenda on Rock Band 1.
Say it ain't so. Yeah. Well, they got what's his name? Crazy.
Mike Patton.
Yeah, Mike Patton, Elastic Voice. In there as a consultant. Like, I really think you should seed the random number generator with Epic. Yeah, all right, Mike Patton. God damn it. I hate that song so. But you can't grab it. You know what? I think he's a cockroach person. I think Mike Patton might actually just be a writhing skin bag of cockroaches.
That could be. That's why he could do all those voices on Left 4 Dead.
Right. He just it's not different voices. It's just different cockroaches that climb up to inhabit his vocal cords.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring up Carlos up here. Or like, let's grab Johnny, the young cockroachman, to come up here and do the voice of Zombie 2.
Yeah.
And then get Tim the Cockroach Man Taylor to do the voice of Zombie 3.
Oh God. It's I feel so bad. Terrible things are gonna happen to Mike Patton.
Yeah.
And Rob Thomas.
Yeah, well, like I'm half sad about that.
Yeah.
Like I don't want anyone to die. Well, I think that's Bad Mojo. Everyone should play it, though.
Oh, God. It's like $6 on Steam. It's delightful. Yeah,
if it's an adventure, if you like adventure, like atmospheric, esoteric adventure games, like you can do way worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, if you need to have a certain amount of like distance from this, you can call it Kusoge or whatever it is, but it's real short. Like it's not really any skin off of the corners of your floorboard that are just so delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. No skin cells off your back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So it gets a hearty thumbs up from me.
I bet you it would translate well to doing a Let's Play as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
A Let's Play, just because it's not like the interactivity is not, at least from what I could see, was not, you know, the selling point so much.
Yeah,
like there's some puzzles that were decent, but I only played for a half hour, 40 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So
it carries through. I would say that the puzzles stay good. Like they maintain a level of quality.
Yeah, I like how they never break. There's no like suspension of disbelief involved in the puzzles.
Oh, for sure.
At least for what I saw, like it was all just like, oh, these are things that would actually be on the floor of this scumbag motel, and here's logical ways to use them, make them make sense. Like dipping the wires in the roach poison thing to short out the thing. Like it's all stuff like that, which is cool.
Yeah, there is one puzzle where you have to knock a sleeping pill into your landlord's beer. This is your dad. You're gonna kill your dad.
Yeah, we could just give him a good nap.
Oh man, good night. Roger, you're a monster. You're killing your dad.
Well, remind me who John something?
John something, yes. Let me look this up here. Yeah, this is Jason Clark.
Jason Clark. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, thank you for making our 50th episode so special.
Yeah, this is good game.
And giving us a calm before the fucking tide.
Yeah,
before the storm.
I was gonna say, like, this is one of the most because we record these in batches of three, and this is one of the most notable batches we've done.
Yeah.
Like nothing that we're doing is boring. Mm-hmm. So Look forward to that next week. Yeah.
And also, of this batch, it's probably the lowest, like the average quality of the games, even with Bad Mojo, which is a pretty good game.
Yeah, it's not swinging the curve that much because the next two things we're doing are absolutely abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
Which the next thing we are doing
is Cyberdeck.
Yeah, Cyberdeck. I could not remember the name of this for the life of me. I had to reference that email that you sent with the name of it every time I wanted to look something up about it. It was like, oh, it's like, you know, Cyber Crunch, and like just couldn't like could not remember it at all because it's a nonsense word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this is one of the worst games that has ever been made.
Let's take a note here. Let's do Cyberpunk. Okay, it's going to be Cyberpunk Serial Snow Crunch.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
That works for me.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing next. Mm-hmm. And what can people do to help the show?
Well, people can continue writing in and participating in our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/abjectsuffering. The reach that we have on that is relatively limited, but you guys are very participatory on that.
Yeah.
It kind of gets rowdy every time we post something. So I appreciate that.
It's good to get rowdy.
Yeah. There's a little errata slash elaboration. So I was talking with my good friend Michael Crick. Mm-hmm. He was saying, hey guys, you know, it was real fun how you guys kind of gave us a ribbing on the Dudes with Attitude episode. I was like, hey, you know, just it brought us together, Michael. And he said, oh, but there's one thing you forgot. I am the son of the guy who discovered the double helix structure of the DNA molecule.
Yeah. We did forget that.
Also, we didn't know that.
Yeah. We forget. You forget 100% of the things you don't know. Yeah, which is just weird. Like, what a weird, like, Royal Tenenbaums-esque, like, family of forgotten geniuses that is.
Okay, so let's add this to the Crick lore. Also, he's an expert falconer.
Is he really?
No.
He could be.
No.
I don't know what's true and what's not. Like,
he's not a radish farmer. He's a radish farming falconer.
Yeah, could be.
I felt the need to put that in there just because it seemed relevant, and I really care about Michael.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good man.
He's like blood to me. What else can they do, Gary?
They can also rate and review us on iTunes. Mm-hmm. It's appreciated. It's been a little while since we got one of those, and that helps other people learn about the show. You can also tell other people about the show if you think this is funny and good. Mm-hmm. You should talk about it or just blog it.
Yeah.
Or throw it on message boards or what have you. All helpful.
Yeah. All of our shit's on SoundCloud, like specifically for this show and eventually the whole network. That is shareable. So when you look at the actual website, you'll see a little share button. You can actually embed that in places. You're like, hey, I want you guys to check this out. Mm-hmm. It shares on Facebook and everything. So that is one of the reasons for making that switch is to help spread the word.
Yeah, it makes it super easy.
Yeah.
And you can also donate to our Patreon campaign. It's patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. Carrying us a couple of bucks a month if you want. Due to that, Patreon is the reason why we made the show weekly. Mm-hmm. Something we wanted to do, but the outpouring of support cemented that as a good decision.
Definitely. And also, like games like this that cost money, that comes out.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, because I mean, we're willing to put like, you know, some real money into the network. We do that mm-hmm. already, but it is nice to have things like this paid for.
Yeah, covered.
So. Yeah. I think that's probably it.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I'll catch you guys on the Cyberdeck flip.
Buh. I need to turn on a light because it is incredibly dark. I think it is about to storm.
Turn off the dark. Cole, turn off the dark.